Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar, broadcasting from my home studio. Today's program could be entitled Rules of the Road. Even if you have been driving for decades, an occasion arises when you ask yourself, who has the right of way here? Or is this or that legal? And let's face it, we often see other drivers, or at least we think we do something that we think is unsafe or just not real smart. Today's program, we try to answer traffic law questions. Joining us on today's program is Corporal Brent Miller, who is director of the Pennsylvania State Police Communications Office. Corporal Miller, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Scott, and thank you for having me.
Also, Fritzi Schreffler is PennDOT District 8. That's here in central Pennsylvania. She is a safety press officer. Fritzi Schreffler, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you.
If you have a question or comment, this is your opportunity to ask it about rules of the road. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. We've already received some questions from listeners, and we'll get to those in just a few moments. Corporal Miller, Fritzi Schreffler, I don't know who wants to answer this question. Maybe both of you can, but during the pandemic, are there fewer cars, fewer vehicles on the road right now in Pennsylvania?
I think initially there were fewer cars. Back in the spring, when we were all asked to stay home, and especially when we thought it was going to be 2 weeks, there were a lot fewer cars on the road, but we've definitely seen an increase over the months.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with Fritzi on that. And however, as you know, things started to open up over the summer, traffic began to increase. In fact, we saw crashes and other items like that pick up. But the big thing, the big question, current question is, if I'm out of state, can I travel through Pennsylvania? Yes, you can. We do not have troopers posted at the borders. And we are, the Pennsylvania State Police is not stopping vehicles for just having an out-of-state plate.
Well, you anticipated, Corporal Miller, my next question, and that is whether there has been any difference in the number of crashes that have been investigated, maybe fewer or the same number of citations that have been written. Any difference that you're aware of?
It's over time, it's fluctuated. Since the pandemic began in March, it's really fluctuated from going down to coming back up. We have a great tool on our website, psp.pa.gov, that we've been tracking citations and other enforcement options on that. We have a COVID-19 button that's still in effect today. And, you know, you can see the numbers overall are a little decreased from last year, because last year obviously was a normal year, but we're still seeing crashes and traffic citations issued.
And I think Brent would probably agree that what we saw initially was a huge decrease, but then what we started seeing was a huge increase in speeding related incidents, because there were less cars on the road and people felt comfortable, if there's not any congestion, to speed up a little bit.
Yeah, let it go. All right, let me get into some of the questions we've already received. Tiff tweets, this is a Twitter question. It's mostly common sense. Now, this is more of an opinion, but I'll get you to respond to it. I do think that every 5 years in every state, instead of simply renewing your license, one must pass a written basic knowledge test to prove they are aware of the new laws. No excuses out there. It's your responsibility as a driver, period. Period is in capital letters. So I don't know how you want to respond to that. You are not the legislature. You don't make the laws. But would it make sense to let me put it this way. You know, we do this show because there are so many laws out there. How do people stay up on what is legal, what's not, what they should be doing on the road, what they can't?
Well, the go ahead, Brent.
I think the best rule of thumb is, first and foremost, go speak to your local legislator. Have a discussion with them on ideas that you may have. They may have those same ideas from other people in your community, and really start the process there. So it's not my area to say if or if, because you know, as we do as Pennsylvania State Police, we just enforce the laws. But if you have a great idea, please bring it up to your local legislator.
As far as the testing goes, or being able to stay up on some of the new laws, the PennDOT website is obviously a great tool for that. We don't hand out driver's manuals anymore. I'm old school. I wish we did, because I like being able to flip through the pages. But it is online. You can go take a practice test for a permit. Even if you're in, you know, your 60s and you've been driving forever, go take that and see if something pops up that you didn't know. So the PennDOT website is a really good tool for doing that. As for every 5 years, if you have a child who is getting ready to take their driver's license, you know how difficult it is to schedule that. We tell people, you know, it's got to be a minimum of 6 months. So the day your kid gets their permit, schedule their license appointment, because it can take a long time to get in. So how would we do a written test? How would we monitor that? How would we make sure that you're taking that test with, you know, the screen open and just looking up all the answers? There's just a lot of questions about it. It's not that I'm saying it's a terrible idea. It's just there's a lot of issues involved.
We don't hand out the little books anymore?
We don't hand out the little books anymore. We stopped doing that several years ago. And like I said, I'm old school. I like having one to look through. But yeah, it's all online now.
See, I didn't know that, Fritzy. I'm learning things here.
And another great tool for information out there is actually social media. Yeah. Our office started, I have to give credit to my staff here, a segment called Ask Trooper Brent on social media. It started last year. If you have a traffic-related question, anything, ask it on our social media. And we have a nice video series going on where I answer it through a video. So we obviously receive lots of questions, but that's just one option. And you can always contact one of our community service officers throughout the state if you ever have any specific questions.
Yeah, that's a great idea with the social media thing. Let's go to the phone. David is in Reading. David, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. My question is about right-of-way at intersections. Is it determined by who arrives at the intersection first, or does the direction of travel of the vehicles figure in? For example, I am coming up to an intersection. I get there first, and I'm making a left turn. Another car is coming directly from the opposite direction, going straight. They get to the intersection slightly after I do, or whatever. They're after I am. I was there first. Who has right of way on that? Is it the arrival at the intersection, or is it the direction of travel? And then there's a second part to it. It seems that people think it's the direction of travel, because if you're making a left at an intersection and there's people coming, they're not slowing down. So that's my question.
Well, David, that's a great question. In fact, we probably get that question every single time we have our guest on the program. So, Trooper Miller, you want to take that one?
Yes, I will take it. In fact, we just did a recent video on Ask Trooper Brent on this for right-of-ways at an intersection, specifically at a stop sign. So first to arrive, first to drive. That probably answers most of his question. And then from there, yield to the right, always straight over turning, and right before left. And okay, a good tool to keep in mind, the right-of-way is always given. It is never taken by courteous drivers.
Okay, but something you said, always straight. But David's question, the one he arrives at the intersection first, but is making a left-hand turn, does he still have the right-of-way?
That's correct. He does have the right-of-way because he was the first to arrive.
Okay, so he could, even though he's making a left and the other driver's coming straight. Okay, understood. All right, let's see. Let's get to some of these other questions. If I'm at an intersection where there's a traffic light with a right turn signal, is it permitted to make a right on red when the right turn signal is not lit?
That's another great question. And yes, if there's no sign in place that says no turn on red.
The sign is the key, right?
Yes, the sign is the key. And Fritzy can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe on every single area where there's no turns on red, there is always signage posted.
There is always signage posted.
And Fritzy, that sign rules all. That
sign rules all. If the sign says no turn on red, it is no turn on red, and that is an enforceable sign.
Okay. Paul asks, I see a lot of cars with license plate covers. Some of them are so dark you can't read the plate. Are these legal? If not, why is it not enforced more?
That all is based on a case-by-case basis. There can be covers, but they can't be obstructing the plate from view. So it would really have to, law enforcement would have to see it. And trust me, there are vehicles that are stopped for this violation, and you can be either issued a summary violation or a warning to correct the issue.
Isn't that
might be a good segue into mentioning window tinting.
I was going to do that, Fritzy. Go ahead.
Window tinting is a controversial topic for people. Brent will have the actual, you know, technical, what the law is. You see it all the time. You drive by vehicles and you can't see the person inside it. And that is not legal. And then people say, well, I've had my windows tinted for years and nobody's ever stopped me. That doesn't mean somebody won't stop you. Some officers are more heavy hitters on worrying about something like the window tinting than others, but it is illegal. Correct, Brent?
That's correct. And the rule of thumb here is 70%. So 70% light transmission has to come through. The state police does have light tint meters. In fact, I did a couple segments on with local television using the light meter that our department has. Basically, if it's from the factory off a lot, the dealers know all the rules and regulations for each state. So more than likely it will be okay. For pickup trucks, there is no requirement for the rear side and the wing windows for pickup trucks. And then items like a limo, those have special regulations where they can be tinted.
Basically, okay. The only vehicle that cannot have any tint on it is a sedan.
Yeah.
Two-door, four-door, it does not matter. If you are driving a sedan, all that is allowed is what came from the manufacturer. Every window has some kind of little tint on it. But when Brent was saying pickup trucks, SUVs, vans, things like that, it's only allowed on the back windows, the rear passenger windows.
Okay, so Fritz, you just brought up something else I was going to ask about, and that is there a difference between tint on the windshield and the side windows, all the other windows surrounding the vehicle?
No tint on windshields.
At all.
On your front. Mm-mm.
And that won't pass inspection, right?
Well, it shouldn't, but... it has to somewhere. I mean, people are finding somewhere to get them done. I know I bought a used vehicle several years ago and I was concerned about the windows, and I actually had an officer from Lower Paxton come take a look at it. And she was able to confirm for me that it was an aftermarket product. And I went back to the dealer and I had them remove it at their cost because they should not have sold it to me that way.
Fritz, you're so conscientious.
Probably a little more so because of the job.
I think so, yeah. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. On tomorrow's program, we talk about contact tracing during the coronavirus pandemic and if it's been successful, and also a local author on how one Confederate general influences race relations even up until today. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. But today we're answering your driving questions, your traffic law question, rules of the road. Our guest today, Corporal Brent Miller, who is director of the Pennsylvania State Police Communications Office, and Fritzy Schreffler, PennDOT District 8 Safety Press Officer. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalk. WITF. Phone number once again, 1-800-729-7532. Let's take a phone call from Sherry in Duncannon. Sherry, you're on the air.
Hi, Trooper Brent. We love your Ask Trooper Brent show. I'm calling with a question about I'm in the right-hand lane going to turn right, and there is not a no turn on red sign there. But there is a sign that always makes me think twice, that it says, right turn only. So I know I can only turn right. My question is, do I have to stay there until the light, if the light is red for me, do I have to stay there until it turns green? Or can I turn if the light is red and the traffic flow is free for me to turn?
So I just sent Brent a note because one of... the signal guy, Eric Kinard, who listens to you every day, Scott, said that if there is a right turn arrow, you cannot turn on red unless there is a sign allowing it. It's the opposite of the red ball signal. So in summary, if there's a red ball, you may turn unless there's a sign saying you can't. But if it's a red arrow, no turn unless the sign says you can. Does that make any sense?
The arrow part's throwing me. If there's a right arrow, that means I cannot go.
Right. And I think
even if
that
the flow
would
is available to go. Yeah. Okay.
I think that would probably be very confusing to most people.
Yeah. I think we should do away with it.
Yeah. And a lot of, I don't remember actually in a red arrow. I'm just thinking the light was, the ball was red, but maybe. There's
well, Eric, since you're listening, there you go. We need to do away with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for watching, Sherry, Ask Trooper Brent. And a lot of the times there are signs that are posted that say no turn on red for most of those arrows as well. But obviously there's different cases throughout the state.
Okay. Hey, well, Sherry, thanks for calling in and saying that you're a fan of Corporal Brent. But, hey, thanks for your
call.
All right. We got a Corporal Brent Miller fan club starting here. Thank you very much for your call. All right. Here's a question from Valerie. Is passing on the right when another car is waiting to take a left turn legal or illegal? People do it all the time in the Northeast U.S., but is it still actually a legal driving move?
Are you going to take that one?
Yeah. I would have to see the exact place, but if there is room for the vehicle to still be in a lane and maneuver around the vehicle turning, that is legal. A lot of the times we see where it's illegal, where a vehicle will be, let's say, making a left, and another vehicle will travel onto the berm of the road and then back on. That is the illegal maneuver.
Okay, when you say berm, how do you define berm?
Yeah, the shoulder. Sorry.
Yeah,
the
shoulder. you don't drive in somebody's yard. That I think everyone knows that.
No.
But if there's gravel off to the shoulder, can you drive into that gravel to make that right?
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
Okay. All right. Lisa asks, are over-wide loads restricted from any roadways? I keep seeing them on limited access highways like Route 222 north of Lancaster and Routes 283 and 30. They are such a hazard on these roadways. What's the rules when it comes to overwide lows?
Well, as far as PennDOT is concerned, they have to apply through our permits unit to get their route approved. So if they are on there and they have gotten their route approved through us, then it is okay for them to be on, because sometimes they're delivering somewhere local and there is simply no way to keep them on an interstate. They're going to have to get off the road in order to deliver. They are restricted to certain times of day. Brent can probably speak to, there are certain kinds of loads that actually have to have PSP escorts.
That's correct. And you'll see that on usually the major interstates, but yes, we still do escort major loads. Hmm.
Janet is from Carlisle is on the phone. Janet, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question about bicyclists. Do bicyclists have to stop at red lights if they're going
Absolutely.
Straight through?
Absolutely. Bicycles yes, okay. have to follow all the same rules of the road as a vehicle.
Okay, so they can't come to a red light and act like it's a stop sign and just then breeze on through if they want?
Sadly, they do, but legally they're not allowed to.
And you can find all those under Title 75, Chapter 35, Sections 3501 through 3514 is all the bicycle sections.
And you can also go to the PennDOT website and look at our bike manual.
Wait a second, Corporal. Oh, you think okay. you think that Janet has one of those one of those code books?
That off.
Yeah, he did.
That was quick.
If Janet has internet access, Title 75 can be pulled up by anybody.
Oh, okay, all right. Yep. So Janet, there you go. There's a pastime for
while
you. Okay.
I'm driving.
No, not while you're driving. No, yeah.
Of course, no, yeah. Never while driving. But if you're bored tonight, you know.
Hey, thank you very much for your call, Janet. Kid has a question. This is a good one, Corporal Miller, and I don't know whether you have an answer to it, but I'll ask it anyway. What do you anticipate the role of the state police will be in the future when self-driving cars become common? I suspect it will be a different organization with big changes in the duties as new laws affect the rules of the road. Is that even discussed today?
That is a great, great question. And, you know, we'll just have to take it year by year. I don't foresee a full-on, where drivers are not operating vehicles whatsoever throughout the entire United States. I don't see that happening anytime in the near future, but there are test pilot programs going on right now.
And PennDOT has been involved in a lot of the autonomous vehicle technology that's going on, at least in Pennsylvania. It's something that we're definitely following. I mean, a lot of cars have some of this technology. If you have a newer vehicle, you have blind spot monitoring where it'll warn you if there's something, you know, right next to you, if you're trying to change lanes. We have newer vehicles that will stop and, you know, try and avoid crashes, things like that. There's a lot of us in the safety world who are a little bit nervous. Does this mean that somebody can get behind the wheel who is just obliterated and tell it to take them home? My understanding is that technically you still have to be in some kind of physical control of the vehicle in case something goes wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, because I was picturing maybe the Jetsons or something like that, where there's no one in the car. Who are you going to write a ticket to? So, you know, those are things we have to think about. Let's take a call from Marcy in Lancaster. Marcy, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So I have a question about the flashing yellow arrows at intersections. I'm not quite sure. I know they started maybe a couple of years ago, and I'm just wondering why they're there, and can you explain them?
Black and yellow?
No,
the flashing yellow.
Flashing yellow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. The flashing yellow means that you need to slow down. You need to check and make sure that nothing is coming. We put them in at intersections, and since Eric's listening, he will correct me if I'm wrong, but we put in the flashing yellow arrows as a sign at intersections where maybe we've had a lot of crashes, where they're like a T-bone crash, meaning somebody turned in front of somebody who was coming at them. So it still allows you to turn, but it's telling you to turn with caution. Does that make sense? Instead of giving you a dedicated green arrow, or instead of just giving you the green ball, which is kind of a, you know, not a free for all, but you can go. This is warning you, take another look before you go, because we've had crashes at this intersection.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, Marcy. Thank you very much for your call. Speaking of flashing lights, went through a school zone the other day, and the lights were flashing, but it was a day the kids were off school. Does it make a difference whether, I mean, because who knows whether they're in school or not? Classes are in school, especially today. But does it make a difference as long as that light in the school zone, those lights in school zone are flashing 15 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, you have to slow down to those speed limits?
That's correct. And I believe those are set before the school year start with school administration personnel and local municipal leaders to establish a schedule. And of course, this year we have hybrid learning models. You know, it's every school district is different. So especially this year, please use caution if you see those flashing yellow lights. You do never know. It could be a hybrid model where a couple hundred kids are at school that day.
Okay. And it could be just like Brent said, they're set. And so they're still going to run on a day off, especially you think about things like a snow day. They're still going to be running whether the kids are in school or not.
Here's a call or a question, I should say, from Stephen. Speed limit in the city of Lancaster is 25 miles per hour, a limit that is not observed by too many. I live on a designated state road where I understand that radar is not allowed to be used, and he's talking about local police departments. Police, governmental, and local representatives don't respond to my calls or emails. What can Stephen do?
I think first and foremost, go have a meeting with, I believe Lancaster City just has a new police chief that they just hired.
It does, yeah, acting anyway. Yeah,
so I think that would be a great opportunity to go meet the new police chief and have a conversation about speeding in the area where they live.
Let's take a call from Nancy in Akron. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to go back to the right turn question. If you come to an intersection and there's the red light and there's a sign that says red turn arrow, do you have to wait for the right turn arrow? Do you have to wait for the arrow, or can you make a right on red?
According to the information from our signals unit, you have to wait. If there's no sign and it's an arrow, you have to wait.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your call. Rich has a question. Says, why do the state police ignore when an 80,000-pound truck is tailgating a 4,000-pound car? At 65 miles per hour, the truck should be 2 seconds behind 180 feet, not 18 feet. Frankly, this is a whole lot, heck of a lot more dangerous than a Prius driving 12 miles per hour over the speed limit. That's more of a comment than it is a question, but it does bring up the point of tailgating and whether it does make a difference, the size of the vehicle in tailgating. What are the rules of the road when it comes to how far back cars should be, vehicles should be separated, and does it make a difference in speed limit and size of vehicles?
For actual tailgating, if anybody driving is ever concerned with someone tailgating them, you can contact 911 immediately. The Pennsylvania State Police receives complaints, tips all the time while drivers are currently en route somewhere and a vehicle's driving recklessly, tailgating them. The best rule of thumb is to let that vehicle pass, and hopefully you can get some sort of description, whether it's a license plate or color, and relay that to 911, and a trooper will be sent out to investigate immediately.
Corporal, I hope that's...
I think part of the issue there is the police can't be everywhere. So it's not that they're ignoring something like that. I'd like to believe if a trooper was right there and saw it, they would definitely take care of that, or a local officer even, but they can't be everywhere. For myself, a lot of times what I do is try and quickly memorize the number for the truck. Like if it's a local company, I've called companies before to report, you know, driving issues with their operators.
Man, you are a conscientious driver, Fritzy. Hey, Corporal Miller, are citations written, a great deal of citations written for tailgating?
Yes, there are. In fact, the section is 3310, following too closely, where I'll read it to you word for word. The driver of a motor vehicle shall not follow another vehicle more closely than is reasonable and prudent, having due regard for the speed of the vehicles and the traffic upon and the conditions of the highway.
Okay, reasonable and prudent. Sounds like a truck could be driven through that loophole.
I think there's loopholes for sure. When you go before a magistrate or something, it's going to be incumbent upon the officer to determine what is reasonable and prudent.
Okay, another question here. Sam asks, with a significant increase in warehouses and trucking, what are the state police and PennDOT doing to address the influx of traffic? Truckers occupying fast lanes on interstates when not passing, etc. I don't know whether that's something that you could address or not, but go right ahead.
Yes, I can address that. In fact, the Pennsylvania State Police has a motor carrier safety division. In fact, I see them all the time on Interstate 81 doing enforcement, especially through the Harrisburg-Carlisle area. That they're out there specifically looking for truck and truck tractors and committing any type of violations, ensuring that they're abiding by weight limits, inspections, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And the Carlisle area is the worst area for us in South Central Pennsylvania because there are so many warehouses and truck stops and things. It's kind of a hub for us, and it's not going to go away. We've worked closely. PennDOT has worked closely with PSP Carlisle to try and help get messaging out. If you're driving into that area, a lot of times you'll see the overhead message boards, you know, warning you to slow down, what the speed limit is. It's a slower speed limit than the rest of 81 in our area. And, you know, people would like it to be an easy fix, just build another lane. It's not as easy. And if you've been watching the news recently with funding issues, it's not as easy as just building a third lane.
Fritz, you may have just answered this question, but I was about to ask it before you said that. I saw before we came on the air today that traffic was backed up on 81 because there was an accident. Why are there so many crashes on I-81? And not just in Carlisle, but, I mean, Harrisburg, I-81 and 78. There are certain areas. It is. And there was one, I think, just yesterday there. What is it about I-81? Is it just the amount of traffic or what?
I would say the amount of traffic, the speed of traffic, and the distractions that are going on. You know, Brent, I obviously could speak to some of this with looking at some of the crash statistics, but quite often speed is the main thing, and you add the distractions in. If traffic is slowed ahead of you and you're not paying attention and you can't judge what speed that traffic is or is not going, and a truck takes a football field to stop. So, and it, you know, a lot of the crashes involve tractor trailers, and that's because our area traditionally has been second only to Syracuse on 81 in terms of the volume of trucks to vehicles. And what people don't often realize is the majority of the time, it's actually the vehicle driver's fault as the initial cause of the crash. It just happens to be a tractor trailer involved.
Fritzy, I don't know whether I-78 and 81 in Lebanon County is in District 8. Is it in PennDOT?
Yes,
District
8?
It is. Okay. Why is that? It's not an intersection. It's where one interstate starts and another branches off. Why is that so dangerous, or why are there so many crashes there?
You know, that's a really good question. I keep offering to give Lebanon County over to the next district, and they don't seem to want to take it. You know, we've done traffic studies out there. We've taken a look at the road surfaces there. I believe we are going to try and see if doing some kind of different surfacing might help. But it's really an anomaly. It's traffic from two major interstates that are merging into a couple of lanes, you know, several lanes coming in down to a couple of lanes. And it really comes down to driver behavior.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Rules of the road today, answering your questions, Corporal Brent Miller, director of the Pennsylvania State Police Communications Office, and Fritzy Schreffler, who is PennDOT District 8 Safety Press Officer. If you have a question or comment, we'll get to as many as we can. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Corporal Miller, just had someone send an email saying they Googled Ask Corporal Miller and nothing came up. How can someone ask a question of you on, I assume it's on Facebook.
It's on, I was recently promoted, so we stuck with the original name, Ask Trooper Brent. But you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, on our department pages, at PA State Police, or you can send us an email to our resource accounts at ra-psp.com@pa.gov.
We may end up sending some of the questions that we don't get to on the air today to you.
So sure. You be
prepared, because we have about 20 questions in line here, and I'm taking them as they come in. Fred asks, can you legally proceed straight right on red at a signaled intersection where there is no right turn, only a left turn? You would actually be going straight on red at such an intersection. You understand the question?
No.
No. Yeah,
okay. And I'm trying to interpret it too. But what I'm picturing is you come to a light. You can make a left turn or you can go straight. If you go straight, is that considered a right on red? Do you have to wait for that light? Okay. All right.
Well, I would think you'd have to wait.
Yeah.
I think Fred was...
Unless you're actually making a right turn.
Which you can't make according to what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, okay, Fred, that it's a little confusing.
Yeah, and Fred, I think you were trying to pull one over on us here, but, you know...
Send that one to me, and I can send it on to Eric for a response.
Okay. George asks, these new headlights on cars are super bright. Their low beams seem brighter than the high beams of regular lights. Any movement to ban them?
That would come at a federal level. That would be something you'd probably have to talk to National Highway Traffic Safety Administration about, because we have not the police or us, unless the lights have been altered somehow, and then that is an enforcement issue. That is a vehicle code violation. You cannot alter them. I saw somebody the other day with purple lights. That would not be legal. But otherwise, we have no control over that.
So those
and a lot of the new manufactured vehicles have the LED lights, which are just overall, they're just a little brighter, and they have a little brighter look to them. So it is a little different.
So those lights that appear to be blue, they are legal?
Yeah, as long as they're not a royal blue or something. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's take a call from Mike in Harrisburg. Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
My question is involving the small white strobing lights mounted on the traffic signals on the Carlisle Pike where PA 581 exit dumps onto the pike. There's no signage there to indicate what that is, and I'm sure other people are puzzled by it.
Yeah, I have to admit, not that particular intersection, Mike, but I've seen those strobe lights, and I'm like, okay, what is this? This is something different. What is different about those?
So you're talking about if you're coming on the pike, because I live right in that area, you're heading on the pike towards Camp Hill, and there is a light there at the intersection by the Carrabba's, and the one red light strobes. Is that the one you're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay. So there was a program years ago that allowed us to put those in at intersections where there are a lot of crashes. crashes involving people running the red lights coming in the other, like the side directions. And, or people running that particular red light. So that program was actually stopped. I don't know that these were grandfathered in. My understanding was, and again, I'm waiting for Eric to write in. Yeah, we can't use them anymore. The Federal Traffic Administration did studies on that, saw no benefit. We can't put them in anymore, but they don't need to be removed until you, until basically like the signal dies, like they have to replace the signal. And then okay. They are not allowed to have a strobe signal anymore.
Okay, so what was the idea behind them in the first place?
Crashes, people running red lights. You see it all the time that people run red lights. They try and figure out how fast they're going. It turns yellow. Do I have enough time to get through? And if the cross signal doesn't have a delay on it and goes immediately to green, that could be a very bad situation, obviously. So it was a way to keep people like a warning to not run the lights.
But it didn't work.
Yeah, they saw no benefit from it. People ignore that. I mean, you know, it's the same thing as people asking us to put more signs up for things like, you know, don't hog the left lane kinds of things. People ask all the time, why don't you put up signs? Well, people ignore our signs. Well, they do. You look at speed limit signs.
I know.
You know.
I know. I just like your terminology, don't hog the left lane. I think if you use that terminology, they may do it, pay more attention. Another question, at almost every red light statewide, there are cameras pointing at each lane of the intersections. Are all these cameras actively recording the traffic at each intersection?
No. We do not have red light running cameras. Only the city of Philadelphia does, and that's by legislation. What you see in different areas can depend. There are emergency transponder lights, which means that a police car or a fire truck coming through to go to an emergency that they've been called to, there's something within their vehicles that flips that to green. So every other direction has to stop, gets a red light. So you'll see that flashing little white light sometimes in what looks like a camera. Other ones are detectors for left turn lanes that can help keep traffic flowing. A lot of, like along the Carlisle Pike, for example, we have a smart signal system. And what that's designed to do is to keep the traffic on the main line flowing. It's kind of a pain for people on the side, you know, roads who want to enter onto it to make a left turn. Other areas, you think about like motorcycles who have trouble because of the weight, tripping the signal to allow them to make a left turn. So those aren't cameras that are watching you and recording you.
Let's take a phone call from Martin in Chambersburg. Martin, you're on the air.
I have two quick questions. The first one is regarding aftermarket products that you can attach to your car, like colored lights. I noticed a Jeep driving around Chambersburg on several occasions that when it was dark out, they had their headlights on, and then there was a bright lime green circle attached to go around like a headlight trim. And I called the state police, gave them the license plate number, and they said, well, they'd have to know where that vehicle would be parked at their residence before they could cite them. And I said, well, can't you trace the license plate number? And they said, no, we can't do that. The other question is, on several occasions I've noticed a vehicle, I can't remember if it was the same vehicle, but it was a vehicle packed solid with trash. It was a passenger car, and there was periodicals and newspapers and clothing items, and you name it, packed clear to the ceiling. You couldn't see through any window except the windshield. And I have a feeling it's a case of someone living in their vehicle. And that cannot be safe.
Martin, thank you very much for your call. Two questions there. Corporal Miller, what about the first having to do with aftermarket lighting?
Sure. There's lots of aftermarket lights out there. Anytime if you have like light bars or anything LED light bars on Jeeps or overhead on trucks. Aftermarket items have to be covered. And then when it goes to, if you do see a vehicle out there with, let's say, colored lights or anything like that, please make note of it. Contact your local law enforcement, and the information will be taken. They may not go to that residence, but they'll be on the lookout for that vehicle, especially if they live in the area.
The point he made, now, it's, I think that everyone feels for someone who is homeless and maybe living in a vehicle. Mm-hmm. But the point that he makes with items to the ceiling that is keeping someone from looking out the rearview mirror, being able to see out the back window, maybe even the side windows. Can someone be cited for that?
There are potential violations that could be cited, but more importantly, if you see a vehicle like that, please contact 911 immediately to have law enforcement, more importantly, check on their welfare, to check if they need any types of resources or anything to help them out. Maybe they're currently in a tough situation that rather than issuing a bunch of citations, the state police can reach out to their partners and get the appropriate personnel involved.
Martin, thank you very much for your call. Patricia asks, I'm an avid bicyclist and hug the berm of the roads the best I can. Sometimes cars will wait to pass at a safe distance, 4 feet, I believe, but the majority do not. Is it a reflex to speed up passing a bicyclist and some have passed me within a foot? What are the rules of the road on this?
Well, the rule of the road is 4 feet. If you can give them 4 feet minimum, that is preferable. And people have asked, can you cross the double yellow line to pass a bicyclist safety? Yes, you can actually cross that double yellow line. Of course, not if somebody is coming in the opposite direction. You don't want to shove them out of their lane. In that case, the recommendation is to slow down and stay behind the bicycle. There are areas in where I live in Cumberland County that there are bicyclists a lot. You know, there's some clubs that come through here. And I'm much more likely, again, Scott, you'll pick on me, but I'm more likely to just take a big deep breath and let them go until I can safely pass them, because there are a lot of hills and curves.
Buggies,
and remember, they're allowed to be on the road.
Horse and buggies in Amish country and also tractors in farm country. When can you pass? What are the rules of the road when it comes to that?
Correct. That's a great question, Scott, and one we often receive a lot as well in our office. And yes, you can pass them just like a bicycle, even if it's on a double yellow line. I've been on country roads and vehicles following tractors for 6 miles when there's nobody coming in the other direction. Yes, you can pass them, ensure that there's a clear distance ahead and ensure the tractor or combine is not making a turn into a field. They all have turn signals or use hand moments. Just be cautious as you pass them. I would not recommend speeding up as you pass them.
Another question. I have been tailgating. By the way, I better not even ask this question. I'm sorry, because we almost out of time. No, seriously, I mean, we only have about a minute or so left. I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Fritchie Treffler from PennDOT, Corporal Brent Miller from Pennsylvania State Police. There were some questions that we didn't get to. And Corporal Miller, just so, again, if someone wants to follow up on their questions, how can they do it?
Correct. You can contact our office. You can go on our social media, Ask Trooper Brent, on Facebook and Twitter at PA State Police, or send us an email, ra.romeoalpha-pspcom@pa.gov.
Well, we never have a shortage of questions. I think it just goes to show that Pennsylvania drivers still have a lot of questions when it comes to something they've been doing maybe their whole lives. So thank both of you for being with us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. I'm Scott Lamar. Have a great day.